This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Kelly Appleby, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Kelly, and Tim.
And welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. I am Tyler, and I'm here with Kelly tonight. We are without Tim. Kelly, how's it going tonight?
Doing good on this festive Mother's Day here.
Yeah, I mean, we're giving you this episode on Mother's Day for all the mothers out there. And a little gift for the fellas. I mean, for doing such a good job all day, we're going to bring this out to you. So it's a gift for all. But we also have a couple guests that are a gift to everybody. We have Riley Bymaster, who will be our quote-unquote substitute co-host from now on. Riley, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you. And last second, I decided we needed another person in the Ultimate Dynasty Podcast League, and we brought in Travis May from the Dynasty Life. Travis, how is it going?
Going all right, man. I actually have a cold, so pardon my sniffles, but it's going pretty well. Glad to be here. Glad to talk about this relatively new league of ours, for sure.
Yeah, and you were the one that did not want this to start up so early. I mean, we brought you up a couple of times saying, you know, there was somebody in the league that didn't want to draft early, but we brought you around to it. I mean, you came around.
I came around and then I did it, but I'm still not sure how happy I am about that. But you know, it's fun. It worked out okay. I like my team.
Yeah, you got a pretty good team, and we'll bring that up after I bring you a couple words from our sponsors. We have a good amount of sponsors that we love, and our first one is our dear and closest Sit or Start app. It is the app that you got to check out during the regular season. You can put player to player and see which one you should start. It's fantastic. They got player news from RotoWorld and other places. They have, you know, daily leagues that you can set up where it shows you which is the right start. They're a great app to have. You can even use it throughout the year. I'm telling you guys, they have been an amazing sponsor. I love the app. Check it out. You can find it on our homepage. Click it. It will send you right to the website. And also, new to our homepage and website, you can also get the Orange Report and Orange Juice. We have the link there if you want to go and purchase it. I am good friends with FF Ghost. He's a great guy. I just want to get the link out there. I know for some people, it may be hard to type in Orange Juice on Google or find it. So if you want to go to dynastyhappyhour.com and check it out, the FF Ghost is great work. The Orange Juice, I've read it. Amazing, easy to read, even for myself and Riley. So yeah, and then we have My Fantasy League. They're a great sponsor of ours. Check them out. If you already are not on My Fantasy League, you need to switch to them. I've gotten questions from people from ESPN. Hey, who should I keep in this Dynasty League? And it doesn't even look like a Dynasty League without being on MFL. So you should check them out, and you should do that ASAP. So let's get right into this rookie draft we had. And it was interesting, to say the least. And Kelly, it was not a part of this league, but he is going to be the voice of Tim. Tim, the guy who is not here, Tim Keller. So, Kelly, are you ready to be the voice of Tim?
I'll do my best to try to impersonate anything that or try to get inside the mindset of how he would come across these picks that he would come up with.
So I feel like to have the voice of Tim and to act like him, you kind of have to get a little drunk. You have to dumb it down a little bit.
Yeah, you gotta be a little bit cantankerous about cheesesteak reviews still.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna miss this week, is cheesesteak reviews. But all right, to give you an idea of who's in the league, sorry if I'm kind of off and on. I mean, I'm living off probably like 3 hours of sleep, and I have to do a full day tomorrow, so it's going to be rough. Work has definitely got to me. But all right, we got, you know, of course, Travis, Riley, Tim. We have Chris Whitman, you know, our old co-host. He's in it. We have Rotoban. We have Travis, of course. Now, we had Tim Torch, but he is no longer in the league with us, and that spot is TBD. So we will kind of just say Tim's old team for that. We have the Fantasy Father and Doug. We have the Dynasty Dummies. We have Riley, of course. We have John Paul Hurley from the Trade Calculator. We have Matt Kelly, the Podfather. We also have John Bosch. Am I missing anybody, you guys? Is that a yes?
I think you got them all. That's about it.
All right, so we'll just go through the picks one by one, kind of talk about them, give you guys his take. First at 101 was Chris, and for some reason, I auto-picked Leonard Fournette. And it was kind of a funny situation because I was like, oh, that doesn't seem like a Chris move. So I went and picked Davis. Then he said, you know, it was a wrong pick, which is understandable because sometimes when you start the draft, it gets a little messed up. But he went Corey Davis, which was what I kind of figured he was going to do. I mean, everybody else, this is pretty much a normal pick.
No, I mean, in almost all my leagues, I've seen Corey go first. There have been a couple maybe that I've seen that doesn't happen. I'm pretty sure in all my non-auction formats, I'm pretty sure Corey went first every single time so far. So that's getting pretty standard at this point.
Yeah, Corey Davis is a lock pretty much at 101 anymore.
Yeah, and Travis and Riley, you guys are from the Nashville area. Am I right on that?
Yeah, Riley's actually from like southeast of town in like a field somewhere. He actually lives in a box.
actually, a closet.
I'm in the middle of a cornfield. So
yeah.
Is that why you're hiding in a closet?
It's not even his house, actually. He found a house that he could, you know, with Wi-Fi, and he went inside. And so he's hiding out in the closet and if he's talking quietly, it's because he doesn't want to get caught.
It's because I don't know the people in the room next door.
Not at all.
Makes sense. But have you guys heard any recent news on Corey Davis?
He wears number 84.
Yes. And I'm going to have to get that jersey here soon. That's for sure. But
that'd be nice to have. Now, yeah. Riley and I made a trade. And I had one. Riley had 102. He picked it in our startup draft. So I went up to him and I asked him what he would want, and he wanted Todd Gurley. So I said, sure, okay. I know it went back and forth a couple times. You know, I was trying to lowball him. So we did the trade, Gurley for Fournette. Riley, you still happy with that trade?
You know, I am. I think you left out a couple details. We wrapped up the startup in late January, and for the next 3 weeks, you sent me a message every single day asking what it would take to get 102. And I said, I'm not interested.
It was I'll deal it every day.
I'll deal it closer. I said, I'll deal it closer time to April, because I know picks just go up in value. They gain value every single day from January to April. So I got tired of looking at my one relevant running back on my team, and I said, you know what, screw it. So I offered you the 102 for Todd Gurley and 312. And I believe you rejected it, and then 30 seconds later you said, screw it, let's do it. I believe that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it happened. I mean, I'm the type of person where if I see a trade that's close enough and I'm like, I could get more, and I'll reject it, and then instantly I'm like, I don't think he's going to get more. Like, that's my mentality, and I think it kind of screws me over on getting more out of trades, but you know what? What can you do? We all have flaws, right? I have red hair. Kelly's from Philly.
I'm in a closet.
Travis has no picture, so.
Yeah, for some reason, I don't know what's going on right now. I didn't really care enough to turn my video on, so sorry, guys.
We all said it was because he got a perm, and he's trying to hide it, so.
If I had a perm, I would wear it proud. I mean, if you're gonna actually get a perm, there's no other way to wear it. You just gotta go and be like, yeah, you know, you see your friends at work, they look at you kind of funny. It's like, yeah, guys. Yes, yeah, it looks good. Pulling this off. Yes, you're jealous.
I had a friend, he's one of my best friends throughout high school, and he was on the hockey team. He had kind of longer hair, and he's like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna get a perm. no joke, got a perm, and he thought he was the coolest kid for the longest time. But you know what? He looked like one of the Raggedy Ann dolls, and I just didn't have the heart to tell him.
That flow when he got skating, I bet you looked great.
Oh, it was awesome.
You were such a terrible friend.
Oh, during warm-ups when he was skating, and it was just like blowing around.
Oh my god.
It was
wish you had slow-mo video.
Oh man, I hope he's listening. But yeah, at 102, I went Leonard Fournette. It seemed like if I didn't get Davis, I was going to go Fournette. So now Riley and I have the, you know, we're going to compare Fournette and Todd Gurley for pretty much until they retire. I mean, that's how it's going to be, or until I pass on, because Riley's like 13. So
first time I've ever heard that joke.
Oh, but yeah. And I also had the 103, and with my next pick, I took Christian McCaffrey. So I'm going to let Kelly give the 104, but then Tim and I actually made a trade.
So at this point, I believe Tim took the 104. He drafted Joe Mixon there, because he's been piling up the Bengals running back stock everywhere he can. So that leads into the trade that you guys ended up doing.
Yeah, he had way too much of Joe Mixon, and I had about three previous Devy shares of Christian McCaffrey. So I told him, let's just make a one for one. And it was pretty much just based off of kind of getting diversity in our team, trying to mix it up. So I mixed in up. Hey, play on words. No. Come on, you guys.
No.
Pick it up.
It's too much shoehorn in there for that joke.
Man. Come on. Be better. Travis is, that's probably why Travis doesn't have video right now, because he's probably just sitting there shaking his head, wondering what in the world did I get into.
I actually almost just decided to leave, but I'll stick around.
I wouldn't blame you. I mean, you probably need other things to kind of shoot at afterwards. Kind of just like, hey, remember that time you said this? Yeah, embarrassing, right?
No, I'm not going to remember this like tomorrow. That's the truth.
Yeah, you probably had a lot of cold medicine. I'm guessing.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Probably going to be Dayquil'd up, Nyquil'd up, and just, nope, not even coherent at all tomorrow. Just, you know, just blabbering on like I'm doing right now.
No, keep blabbering, because there's been a lot of awkward silence in this podcast. So
let's hey, that's okay. That okay. You can clean that up afterwards. That's what editing's for, right?
No, who edits?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Solid. Ain't nobody solid. Got time for that. So
I don't, but I try.
Actually, I'm not going to edit. Kelly knows I don't edit. I don't edit crap.
No, you don't take the time to. Whenever I used to produce for Tim and I's little podcast, oh my God, I'd spend like 2 hours just cleaning up the uhs, just getting rid of all that stuff.
Yeah, so you got to watch out. So we'll just go right into 105, which Pete, the Rotobon, he took Delvin Cook, and I love that pick. Delvin Cook has been rising in my rankings. He's number 3 right now, actually. Riley, I know you're actually still 101 on Cook, aren't you?
That is correct. I would try to cook up a trade and move up for him.
That's what I'm talking about.
Better than
there
the
we go. Oh, there we go.
I don't know if I should feel happy that he did a great job, or ashamed that mine was so bad. A
little bit of both. Or a little bit of both in there. Yeah, but he is still my 101. I still believe in him. I'm a big tape guy, so he's the no doubt best running back in this class for me. So if I could get him at 104, 105, I'd be very happy, but I didn't own a first. So that was out the window for me in this league.
Yeah. All of the news up here in Minnesota has been great. He has been working on his craft. Zimmer loves him. And that's always a plus, because Zimmer is that player's coach. So it's always good to hear when Zimmer likes a player, because with him, you can be in the doghouse instantly. And I've seen videos of Cook. I've fallen more and more in love with him like I did when I watched his tape. So yeah, he's my 103. Now, Travis, where do you have him in rankings?
Right now, so I actually had him at 1 for quite some time. And I am back and forth between the big four running backs, I feel like every single day. But right now, he's at the 5 slot for me. And it's not because I don't believe in him. You know, a lot of people would see that as an indictment in, of you know, his talent or who he is as a person or whatever. People overreact in a big way to his quote unquote baggage, which is just minimal to begin with when you really dig into it. And I don't understand what happened at the combine. I don't know what happened. I can't explain it. But when you just like Riley said, when you turn on the tape, if you look at any game, any play period of Dalvin, it just doesn't line up with his measurables. So I don't get that, but I'm not going to overreact to it, as you know, I'm just going to use the stereotype here, but I'm not going to overreact to one day in his underwear and just throw him out the window. So he's in the five slot for me. So this is right where I would take him.
Yeah. I mean, I wish my wife was the same way. Just wouldn't judge me on one day in my underwear because it would be fantastic. at least I feel like I'm falling right now.
You're just on fire. It's like, it's so unfunny. It's funny because
I love the bombing nature of your delivery.
That was better than your mixing joke.
Yeah, that was, yes. Sorry, joke. You're improving.
Yeah, for the listeners, just hold on. They'll get better.
Yeah, by the end of the show, the punchline is going to be beautiful. Just
it's coming. What if I just mixed all these jokes and at the end you're just like, oh my God, that just happened.
And it was just like an epic. Yeah, it's not. No, I'm not confident in this. But I'm okay moving on to the next pick if we can get past this conversation.
All right. At 106, we have Mike Williams. And Chris's comment says, did not expect him to be here, to be honest. Did you guys expect him to be there? I mean, it's a big six.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I've had a lot of drafts that have already, you know, they've been completed. So Mike Williams has gone six in basically every single one. I think there's one where he went five, but he's basically always going six, unless it's a super flex. And there were a couple of spots where somebody reached on a quarterback. I think it's just one league. I think that happened. So he went like at seven. So this is the range.
I've seen Mike Williams slide maybe one more spot, you know, because somebody came up. They really needed a tight end, wanted O.J. Howard, but he doesn't get past seven. So,
hey, the weird thing about him in my draft so far is so I've had four completed rookie drafts up to tonight. And in three of them, Mike Williams went 106. And in the fourth, he went 101. Somebody took him in the first spot. Somebody's and the comment was, just get my guy. So it's weird. Wow. He's gone one and then he's gone six three times.
Wow. The outlier is to an extreme. It's kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, but that's just kind of like it is what it is. Every league is completely unique. I was actually just talking to Jeremy Funk yesterday. He actually drove through town. We actually grabbed dinner. Another writer over at Dynasty League Football. If you guys, you probably know him. But So we were just talking about different drafts, and he's like, "Yeah, my buddy, I know he's going to reach. He's just a huge Alabama fan. He's got like the fourth or fifth pick, and he's going to go Howard." And that's just every single draft is unique. So. It is not weird, though. The short answer is it's not weird to see Mike drop this far.
Yeah, not at all. So the next pick, Travis, I will let you have it at 107.
Yeah, so I actually, to this point, at the time that we were drafting, I don't think I had actually had a share of O.J. Howard. And so I wanted to check that out because he's basically an athletic freak that I believe in. You know, he just is. Everyone that comes in contact with him from a scouting standpoint loves him, and everyone fell in love with him so much so that he went inside the top 20 picks as a tight end. So that's kind of a big deal. And I like the landing spot. And if they can make Cameron Brate a tight end one, I'm pretty sure they can make O.J. Howard a tight end one too. So I thought that was the right pick and loved it, but ended up moving him later on. But we can get that to that now or later. I mean, it's
whatever. Yeah, I actually didn't even know you traded him.
Yeah, so I had no intentions of doing so, but Tim Torch came to me and he started offering Gronk as like the centerpiece for a deal around Howard. And I hate the Patriots so much, like so much. It's probably unhealthy, but I've never actually owned a share of Gronk in my life. But the offer that we ended up settling on was that I trade him O.J. Howard, the 2.07 and the 3.06 and Ted Ginn for Rob Gronkowski. So I thought, you know what? It's basically the greatest tight end of all time. And Riley doesn't like Gronk anymore. He thinks he's going to fall off a cliff or something. But I any chance I can get the, you know, the greatest tight end of all time, potentially over a rookie that we really don't know what's going to happen. And Ted Ginn and some picks. Okay. Yeah. I just decided to go with that route.
Yeah. It's a great pick. The trade, I'm with Riley on this. I'm not confident in his back issues. So,
from an asset standpoint, though, I just looked at it and thought, you know what? Gronk's price is still pretty low, but unless there's some red flag that pops up before the season, his price is going to keep ascending. And after he gets back to a few weeks of normal Gronk, I wouldn't mind just selling him again and turning him for something else. So, I mean, like, if that helps me get Kelce plus or another tight end plus later on that I actually believe in and actually enjoy watching and rooting for, I'm down for that. But at the time, I just thought, you know, just from an asset standpoint, this is probably the right time to buy Gronkowski.
Yeah, it sounds like actually a pretty smart move to see if Gronk can rebound. But if he doesn't, oofta, I mean.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, like, if he doesn't, it's a risk well worth taking. It's just when he's on the field, he's unstoppable. So I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah, me neither. I'm pretty sure it will end up being good on your part. So at 108, Tim Torch, he goes Evan Engram. Of course, that is not his team anymore. But his team has Engram. And then Doug Eddy took David Njoku. And you guys got to remember, this is a tight end premium, like Travis was saying. So these guys have tremendous value. At 110, Chris trades up and takes Deshaun Watson. What do you guys think in a super flex at 110 with Deshaun Watson? I thought it was actually a pretty good move, but I don't know what you guys think.
I think it depends on it. Are you a Deshaun Watson believer or not? For me, I'm still not in the camp of believing he's going to be good long term. So I don't like that move.
I agree. If you're a Watson believer, then it's okay. But like I don't see his ceiling ever being above Alex Smith. Like Alex Smith is that's his ceiling at best. He'll be a low end QB2 in a super flex league. You know, if he throws a screen to Will Fuller and he takes it to the house, fantastic. But that's really the contingency that you have when you take him.
You're Notre Dame. Like
that's the laziest argument I've ever heard.
But it's true, though. The tape.
It's not true in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. Like people that are just like, oh, he's Alex Smith. He throws 14 miles an hour. Just stop. Look at him like just one game. And
he's
then
a football player.
Yeah, I mean, it's like saying Alex Smith is definitively a ceiling, like just with any amount of confidence, given the weapons that he has and that, you know, just the supporting cast there. It's just I can't look at him and just say he's not going to be better than Alex Smith, because that's like you just don't say that about anybody. Like that's like making fun of somebody's mom, basically. That's horrible.
Whoa, I feel like that's Mother's a little biased.
Not on Mother's Day. I know you can't do that on Mother's Day, Riley. So.
Hey, guys, that was you, man. You brought up the moms.
Jeez, Riley.
I know. But no, like I really do believe his game lines up with Alex Smith. Like on tape, I believe, you know, he struggles reading through his progressions. Smith loves his guys in the flat. So if he's reading a play from inside out, so if the first read is like a little tight end, you know, in route across the middle and it's there, he's going to hit it instead of taking the maybe I got a 65% shot of hitting, you know, DeAndre Hopkins on the post. I'm going to take the 80% chance of hitting CJ Fedorowicz on the little 6-yard in route. I think it's just kind of that stuff, like the really the one read kind of thing. The sneaky good athleticism, although Watson does have the edge on Smith, you know, running the ball. But stuff like that is just how I see compare him to Smith.
Like the outcome when he does decide to throw that corner route, like his accuracy in between like 15 and 20 yards is like 85% or something crazy. So like when he does take those shots, he drops it in. So I think it's hard to project his ceiling, but in a super flex like this, I don't ever hate on anybody taking a quarterback late first for sure.
I agree with you there. Like quarterbacks and super flex, you know, props to you. Roll the dice. I mean, they're worth it because you never know what can happen.
Can we also say he could be Matt Ryan? I'm a huge Matt Ryan fan. Travis, I know you're a Falcons fan. Matt Ryan, his arm wasn't huge when he came out of Boston College. Like he didn't have that strong of an arm. but he had a strong enough arm to get it there. But
yeah, obviously, I like that.
Like with Dalton, Dalton actually learned to have more arm strength as his career went on. I will say in TCU, when I watched Dalton, because I also watched TCU, they're another one of my college teams I like to watch. Dalton had terrible arm strength, terrible, but he actually got better as he went on. You can learn how to throw the ball deeper. So I don't see how his comp for Alex Smith, because he throws a ball 48 miles an hour.
My comp had nothing to do with arm strength. Like, I don't care. Like, when I pitched baseball, when I was a pitcher in high school baseball, like 3 years ago, I topped out at like 76. But I could locate. I could locate my ball, my pitches. And that's why I had somewhat success. But arm strength doesn't really – that's not a huge thing to me.
Now, another thing is I lost it. But, yeah, I mean, we can't sit here and just say, okay, this comp for this. My actual thing I was going to bring up is he's playing in a dome. And I know Kelly hates that.
Back to the dome theory. So I love that.
He's playing in a dome. Actually, I think he's playing in a dome 9 games out of the year. Because Indy, like, for sure he's playing 9 games out of the year. So I like him. I like the pick. We'll move on because I'm always right. So. Now, 111, we'll kind of go through this a little quicker. 111, we have Samaje Perine. That, I felt like, was a little bit of a reach. But, I mean, get your guy, and the dummies love Perine. So, at 112, Tim, his team went Alvin Kamara. I like that pick. I have Kamara at my 7th overall player in my rookie ranking. So, I like that pick. And anytime you guys want to chime in, just stop me. At 201, Riley, I will let you talk about this pick.
Yeah, so I actually started this draft. I was sitting at 203. And then after Samaje Perine went at 111, I basically had a two-man board. I had Kamara and my guy, who I ended up taking sitting there. And Tim made it easy for me when he took Kamara at 12. So I approached, I believe it was Doug, who was sitting at 201. We threw a couple offers back and forth, and eventually we got it done. So I gave the 203 and a 2018 second for 201, 405, and a 2018 third. And I took Kareem Hunt. I love his talent, all around back. I think he can play all three downs for the Chiefs, and he landed in a good spot because Spencer Ware, I don't know. I like his spot, but that's pretty much all I can say. So
this has got to be the best pod that we have ever had on just pure analysis.
Yeah, solid.
I like his
don't
spot.
Like Spencer Ware. I don't know.
Well, because he's.
And by the way, I don't hate Riley. I just gave him a hard time. So
yes, we all love Riley. We just like give him a hard time.
I understand. It's because I'm 13 and I'm sitting in a stranger's house apparently in the middle of a cornfield.
That is weird. With a khaki suit behind you.
Whatever. That's.
It's Tweed, damn it.
Yeah. Reach out to me on Twitter if you have any questions about my quote khaki suit. I would love to explain.
There's a lot of explaining. Everything that's happening. But yeah, we'll move on. We have the Rotobahn at 203 taking John Ross. He's slid. And I'm growing on John Ross. I'm growing on the thought of John Ross. It might just be me. Just fall in love with these rookies and having too much time in my hand. But yeah, I love the thought of him playing well. That's hot analysis right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think the question is him playing well. I think it's just your long-term injury concerns with him. He tends to get banged up, and he's a smaller guy. So,
yeah, if A.J. Green can play 4 more years, I think Ross and A.J. Green – will make beautiful music together. They fit each other. They kind of yin and yang. They fit each other very well. Now, Riley, this pick is the pick that really upset me because you traded so easily with everybody, and I'm sitting here throwing my team at people, and I couldn't get anything.
Wait, before we get to my pick, did we skip 202?
Yeah, yes, I took my home. But that's okay. There's not really a really crazy story there. Actually, there is a slight story because Riley basically promised somebody that I wouldn't take Mahomes because
I was going to get to that. Yeah. So when I traded up to 201, one of my selling points was I told Doug, who Doug and I are really close. We talked all night about this. We were on the phone for like an hour trying to get this deal done. And I told him, I was like, I know Travis, he's not going to take Mahomes at 202. You're going to get your guy at 203. And I'm usually, I don't mean to sound arrogant, but I'm usually right about my league mates knowing their tendencies. Wrong. I felt terrible when Mahomes went at 202. So the contingency I finally put in the deal to get up to 201 was like, I will give you the rest of my blind bidding dollars if Travis takes Mahomes. I was so confident that it was not going to happen. And it did. So I have no blind bidding money until the start of the season. So that was just kind of a little nugget there. So yeah, I guess Travis took Mahomes at 202 and cost me $99.
Hey, you know, it was just for me, it was a value pick. I at that point, I also did not have a share of Mahomes, and I do like him as well. I'm not a fanatic. I'm not going to crown him as the next Brett Favre, like some people are trying to say already, but I did want to just go ahead and take at the 14th pick, the second quarterback off the board in a super flex. So,
oh yeah. From a pure value standpoint, I loved it for you. I'd take him as the top quarterback in a super flex league in this class. So
when you started talking about Mahomes, you know how excited I got to hear the fantasy analysis about it?
Oh man, Mahomes, got a feeling.
Should the title of this podcast be Dumpster Fire?
No, I just think we've got a lot to get through, and I don't really want to break down Mahomes' game. I mean, we can talk about his, you know, monster game that everyone talks about, the 700 yards through the year game or whatever we want to do. But
no, I just I just think this episode is like me drunk tripping over myself. But
you know who Mahomes reminds me of? Alex Smith. Just kidding.
Wow.
That's a take from Riley during our draft pod. He would give the opposite analysis, like, oh yeah, Mahomes, he looks a lot like Alex Smith, a little Dalton maybe, you know, very smart, doesn't have Rogers. Much mobility.
No, yeah, he's a little bit of Tom Brady, a little bit of Peyton Manning. Yeah.
All right. And the Peyton Manning take comes from PM. Patrick Mahomes and PM Peyton.
Oh, well, then, I mean, they're the same person.
I just blew my mind.
Yeah, the initial breakdown. Wow. That's really reading into this.
Yeah.
Let's move on. So, Riley, yeah, let's at 204, let's talk about DeShone Kizer, who you took.
Yeah, so I gave up a little bit to get this pick. I don't regret it at all because he's my QB2 in this class from a fantasy standpoint. QB1 from a skills standpoint, but that's another pod that'll last 4 hours. So I gave up the 210 from where I was sitting. I gave up the 210, an 18 third, and a 2019 first and second to move up 6 spots to get Kizer. And basically my thought process behind that was I believe in him. He's a quarterback. This is Superflex, and I believe he'll be the starter in Cleveland by 2018, and he will be a QB1. And if all that happens, like I imagine and how I picture it, then trade totally worth it for me. Plus, I won't get to use those 2019 picks until I'm legally allowed to drink a beer. So that's like a year and a half, 2 years away.
Forever.
And I'm not 13, just to get that out there. So that was my thought process behind giving up that to get Kizer at 204.
Yeah, you came up and you took him. I seriously was trying so hard to trade up.
That's what made it so fun for me.
I had no luck because Riley and I are both Notre Dame fans, and oh God, it just really upset me when you got him. But
and just to say, that is not the reasoning behind my love for Kizer.
No, yeah, actually, the reason is he really likes quarterbacks that can barely eclipse 60% accuracy in college.
I do. I love it. That's the thing I look for, man.
But hey, he looks good in rookie camp, so
he does.
That is a plus. All right, at 205. Rotobond takes Curtis Samuel, which, you know, is a pick. I'm not that high on Curtis Samuel. The whole Panthers backfield and receiving core really confuses me.
Great for Cam, but not sure about any other. I don't know. But yeah, he's like, basically like a more athletic Randall Cobb. Like if you look at what they did and what they did like in college and how they were even utilized by their team in college. There's tons of similarities there. So when Christian McCaffrey's on the same team, yeah, I don't know. I have like one share of Samuel and it was only because he dropped, but yeah, it's all right here, but I'm like, eh, it's basically how I feel.
Yeah.
Is that a Riley analysis right there? Oh, that's how I feel.
That's what I was going for.
Okay, cool.
I actually dropped McCaffrey to 5 in my ranks just because how they're going to use them. Everybody's so excited about it. I can't get excited about it. I just don't see how it will work. But at 206, we have Doug going with Mitchell Trubisky. And I mean, like Riley's take, he's a quarterback in a super flex. I was kind of hoping to get Trubisky. I tried trading up. Doug didn't want to trade the pick because he wanted to take one of these three quarterbacks. And I mean, I had Glennon. I really wish I could have got Trubisky, but yeah, it kind of sucks. He's a definite shot in the dark. But then Tim Seam at 207, Tim Torch, took Adam Shaheen, which was a solid pick. You know, it's a UTH pick. They like Shaheen. Great metrics, great draft pedigree, huge, huge mountain of a man. So he'll probably be a guy that takes a year or two, I'm guessing. But they want to throw him in right away. They think he's more than a guy who's going to just block for year one. They've stated that. So who knows? Maybe this whole tight end class looks like they could get some decent playing time and you might be able to start one here or there. At 208, John Bosch takes Donta Foreman. I think he traded up with you, Riley, or did he trade with Tim?
He traded with Tim.
Yep. Okay. So yeah. John Bosch traded up to take Donta Foreman. I know he's a big fan. And then at 209, Riley is back up.
I am. So I actually didn't own this pick originally. And this trade, I guess, kind of got shoot over in our big DM. Nobody really talked about it. I gave up Jimmy Garoppolo for the 209 and Brett Hundley. Unfortunately, this was before Tom Brady was announced that he was the cover of Madden 18. So darn,
oh my God.
Madden curse. No, just kidding. Again,
sarcasm in your darn was way worth it.
So basically my reasoning behind this was because one guy who I almost took, I was considering two guys at 201 when I took Kareem Hunt, and this guy who slid to 209, he fell for me and I wanted to get him. So Chris Godwin at 209, I would have taken him at 202, honestly, behind Hunt for me. But I love his game. His contested catch rate is unbelievable from Matt Harmon's reception perception. Another guy who I just got a feeling.
Hashtag analysis.
Another hot take. But anyway, just kind of trading up to get my guy. And I don't see Garoppolo being a starter unless he gets traded. That could be a whole soap opera TV show, the Jimmy Garoppolo being traded rumors. But anyway, Godwin at 209. I like it.
Yeah. And speaking of Garoppolo, in a home league where you put contracts on the salary, I had a friend that put 8 years on Garoppolo and says, "I believe." That was his comment. Just, "I believe." 8 years out of 65 total. I mean, that's a good chunk of your contracts on one player that's not even the starter.
He'll be the starter eventually in those 8 years. So,
like a game or like a starter?
I don't know. He'll start a game for some.
Well, that's a plus.
Hashtag analysis.
Oh, you can only get this here. All right. At, let's see, 210, we have John Bosch taking Jamal Williams, which is a quick riser right now. He is climbing up the draft boards and ADP. At 211, Juju Smith-Schuster to Doug.
Yeah, I traded out of this spot, by the way. I had the opportunity to take Juju, and I just thought, you know what? Somebody's going to want to pay me to move up. So I just traded down like three picks, essentially, and added a fourth. And so I was like, go ahead, take Juju. That's fine.
He dropped like 211? That's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
I think I actually tried trading for this pick with you, Travis.
Yeah, there were actually, I think there were five people that tried to. So,
yeah, it's all right. Travis just hates me secretly. He just doesn't
That's what it is.
No, he doesn't want me to succeed.
I was interested in. I think he's like you and a few other people were trying to like trade me 2018 or 2019 picks or something, and I was wanting two picks in this draft. So, it is what it is.
That makes sense. Or it's just because you're trying to take me down as a person and a fantasy analysis. That's why you came on, and that's why we are calling this the heap and trash.
Sure. whatever helps you sleep at night.
I'm trying to Hardy Boys this.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure it out. It's a mystery.
But I don't get Jamal Williams though before this pick though. Just real quick. He tested worse than Dalvin Cook. Like we're freaking out over Dalvin Cook's combine. Like Jamal Williams was a full 10th slower, had like virtually the same results everywhere else. Like really bad stuff. So he's like a less athletic James Starks than we're supposed to be excited. I don't get it.
Hey,
but
James Starks was a nice guy.
Do you guys think the draft pick happens because of the situation where he landed? Because they can't be looking at the metrics and thinking, well, I got a good player here.
Yeah, it's like it's a good offense and he might have an opportunity because people aren't sure what to do with Kymo and they aren't, you know, actually paying attention and digging further into Aaron Jones. So that's just kind of a double whammy there.
He had pretty good tape.
I like the pick. I like Williams as a player. I like his tape. He's a multi-cut runner who kind of reminds me of DeMarco Murray in his running style. I know I'm about to get just a bunch of profanity-laced phrases.
Why? Because Travis. You're actually giving analysis?
It's a shocker, right? the situation was just kind of the cherry on top for me, for Jamal Williams. So I love the spot here for him. Of course, I probably would have taken him, but Godwin fell. So... But I'd say Williams was probably the next best available for me on the board at 210 for what it's worth.
All right. Now, with the next pick is Tim. And Kelly, I will let you take it.
Well, I would take it, but I'm not looking at it. So you're going to have to announce it for me.
All right. Well, this is going to be easy. And it's Jeremy McNichols at 212.
Oh, there it is.
You weren't there to be able to snipe him.
Yeah, I wasn't there to trade right in front of him and get his blood pressure through the roof and think about making the drive north to come kill me. But that's a Tim pick. You know, he and I both have some McNichols love. So for sure, if Jeremy McNichols is going to be there at the end of the second round, he's going to be all over that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a definite Tim pick.
See, now maybe he could calm down in some of the other leagues we're in. You know, it doesn't have to be death threats every day. Trade Nick Nichols.
you don't have to hide. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like you're looking at Riley's situation. You're like, you know, that could be a good spot to hide.
And yeah, the closet, tweed suit.
Oh, my gosh.
So the next pick is Doug, and he takes Zay Jones. And he said he's going to pair him with Juju. So, I mean, he's got like 3 years to pair him with Juju. But on to the next pick, we have Travis. Travis, you can go over this pick.
Yeah, so I went with Marlon Mack here. And at this point in the draft, I mean, what, pick 26? It was a pretty easy decision for me. I mean, looking at what was left at the running back position, and I felt like just about every other option I could have picked there was going to be a reach. And I actually traded down to this slot hoping I would get Mac, knowing that, you know, Juju was definitely going to be gone. And then McNichols probably could go and Zay. I knew somebody was going to trade up and take Zay. I actually talked about Doug before I traded down. I kind of wanted to just talk about who he would be taking at 3.01, just to kind of make sure that he was going to take Zay so that I could get Mac at this spot. I really love the opportunity. Maybe not necessarily this year. Frank Gore is going to find some way to be relevant all season again. He does that. But I think beyond this year, it's not. So I think Marlon could get some early work this year. Really love his running style. And I think he did amazing things. And he could have gone to a bigger school. He had other deals at you know, huge schools, including like Michigan and Louisville. But he chose to go to South Florida just because of connections with his high school coach and stuff like that. I think there's lots to love as far as I understand it from a character standpoint with him as well. So, and the Colts haven't taken a running back this early Really, I mean, they took DeLon Carter in the fourth as well, but really dating back to like Donald Brown in the first. But besides that, they haven't taken a running back before the fourth. So I think this level of investment is actually more than usual from the Colts. So I definitely like him to get involved early. So kind of easy decision for me.
Yeah, and he looks like he'll get some playing time. I mean, like you said about Frank Gore, we all say, oh, this is the year. It's not. I mean, there's three things in this world that are going to survive a catastrophe, and it's cockroaches, Twinkies, and Frank Gore. Like, that's going to be the last three things.
Yep, that's pretty much.
Was that supposed to be funny again? Because, dang, that's like strike four.
That's actually knowledge. That's straight up knowledge right
there. Yeah.
Hashtag
that, knowledge. That is true, though.
At 303, John Bosch takes Jake Butt. I mean, to get Butt at 303, that is solid, I think.
I was pretty butthurt about this pick because I was thinking about moving up for him.
I mean, the fact that he grabbed Butt this early is surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. I
damn it, Travis. You just come in here and you take it.
I was like, yeah, just, you know what? I'm just going to leave that there. I'm just going to sit right there.
God, that was good. Stop. I'm moving on.
We're just trolling you. We're just going to.
Yeah. I think so.
Even if we want to laugh, we're going to mute so you just hear silence.
But I can see when you mute. So I know. I'm always watching. At 304, we have James Conner. I am growing higher and higher on this guy. I took him at 205 in a league, I think yesterday. And I'm not ashamed. I don't trust Bell staying healthy. I don't trust him staying on the field for anything. And the second he's gone, James Conner, I feel like, is going to step in and take his place. No issue.
Are you a Bell owner in the league you did that in?
Nope. And I actually just traded for him. And I went right up to the James Conner owner and I said, hey, I got your handcuff. Have fun paying for him when Bell is gone.
It's bold.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Yeah. It pays off for him.
I hope so. And I think it will. I in my heart, I feel like there's nothing but success for James Conner. It could be me falling for the story, but I have a gut feeling. Could have been something I ate, but I think it's good.
I like his style of running back, but I don't think he's apples for apples when it comes to Le'Veon Bell, who is, but
no one.
Yeah. I mean, he could still have some success, but I don't think you're getting exactly the same type of back if Le'Veon Bell goes down with a knee injury or moves on after the season.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see. It's one of those picks that could really hit or it could really suck.
Yeah, but I mean, at this point, it's a third round pick.
Yep. Exactly.
No. It's the running back shot. At 305, Tim Torch's team took Joe Williams, which. This was kind of before the big hype news started coming out. So I think he would be more towards the early third, late second. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that's where he's been creeping up in the last week or so. Yeah.
And at 306, he comes back and takes Wayne Gallman. It says, you traded the pick, Travis.
Yeah, that was actually a part of the original trade for Gronk. Basically, what that amounted to was I traded OJ Howard. Adam Shaheen, because that's who he picked with the 2.07, and Wayne Gallman and Ted Ginn for Gronk. So when you think of it that way,
it looks better that way for Wayne Gronk. Yeah, definitely.
Like a bunch of dudes, and then maybe OJ Howard, who could be awesome, but
yeah,
for Gronk, I mean, it just seemed, especially in tight end premium, it was like, oh, okay, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And at 307, I come in and I took Carlos Henderson, and I thought it was great value. He was pretty much the best player on my board other than the next pick. But yeah, I thought Carlos Henderson here at 307 was a pretty good steal for me.
Yeah, I love that for you. I thought that was fantastic value.
I feel like he's going to be the third wide receiver on that offense. Like,
yeah, looking at it now, I don't know why I didn't try and move up for that. I'm not really sure. He's no doubt the best player on the board. So,
yeah, it was shocking he dropped. And when I saw it, I'm like, okay, sure. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Hashtag analysis.
No, but really, it's like guys like that that wouldn't normally drop. It's super flex and tied in premium. So just happens like that, which is nice.
Yeah, but going after Wayne Gallman just seems mind-blowing. Like, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah, people are just chasing the idea of him winning that job, I guess, but I don't know. It's just
upright running style.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a Wayne Gallman believer or fan.
Me neither. Yeah. And if you have any questions about my hate for Wayne Gallman, you can ask me on Twitter.
Yeah, Raleigh's looking for these ads.
Bring it on about my khaki suit. Quote on.
Khaki suit. We got to get a screen cap of this. Next time he talks, get it.
you just click on his box. It'll just stay up. But yeah, the next pick at 308 is Taywan Taylor by the Podfather himself. And I thought that was a pretty good value too. It was pretty much between Henderson and Taywan Taylor. And with Tazae Sharpe not being able to keep his cool, I think he's going to see more playing time
allegedly
early than what
that's
we expected.
Not proven yet. You know?
There's a lot of details missing there. And where that actually allegedly happened was right across the street from where I live just 4 months ago. And there's only one alley. So I know exactly where it allegedly happened. And there's almost no way you could basically have no witnesses, you know, an offensive lineman for the Titans and a wide receiver for the Titans just shove a guy into an alley and nobody notices on like one of the busiest. I don't know. It's a crowded area and they're watching it on draft night. So there's no way that there weren't witnesses. So it's going to come out. The truth's going to come out. We're going to know here really soon. And it's probably just not even true. But with Taewon,
the way it sounds, but if it is civil suit only, they didn't even go through the cops. You know, it just sounds like an extortion.
Just super shady, yeah. But with Taewon, I mean, he's not going to have impact early. He's basically – the Titans run 11 personnel like 40% of the time. And if he's going to be the slot guy, that's 40% of the snaps because it's going to be Rashard and Corey on the outside and then Delaney. And maybe they even work in Jonnu. So maybe it's less than 40% snaps for the first 2 years of his career. So I'm not interested at all from a fantasy football perspective. I like it from a real football perspective for my team, you know. For the Titans, I think that's great. He's a great player. But for fantasy football, I have zero shares, and that's probably not going to change. People just are willing to take him before me.
Now, I have an announcement to make. We have found a new owner for Tim Torch's team. Tim, we are sorry you couldn't stay, but we did find a new owner. You guys got any guesses?
This is interesting. Like, I didn't. This is a surprise.
Breaking news.
Yeah, it just happened.
Joke.
No. But take some guesses. It's a big name in the dynasty field. It's somebody who we all know. Anything?
Did Ryan McDowell?
Come on. No, he declined because he doesn't like Riley or khaki suits. But
oh, that's just the perfect storm right there. That's understandable.
But it is none other than Rich Dotson of Dynasty Nerds. Oh, he is taking his team. I'd like to welcome Rich, and I will say Rich's team from now on instead of Tim's.
There you go.
All right, but at 309, the Dynasty Dumbers take Cooper Kupp. I like that value. I think Cooper Kupp is going to be a good wide receiver in the NFL. I think he's a big slot guy. Honestly, I hear comparisons to Jarvis Landry, and I just like it. He's not a super athletic guy, even though the three cone would say otherwise. So he's pretty much a large size Jarvis Landry, but the skin color is different.
And the hands and quickness. I don't know. Jarvis Landry is a little bit out there for a comp for me. I can't get down with that.
And there's Kelly's hashtag analysis for the night.
That's got to be the title of the show at this point.
Hashtag it will be. We'll slide that in there. And I think it's all because Travis. I mean, he's trying to take down the happy hour, just like he doesn't realize.
I missed that. I'm lost.
I'm never mind. We'll just move on. Damn it! Yeah, there you go again, Travis. See, I'm telling you guys, he's trying to take down the happy hour. It's not going to happen.
It's that NyQuil starting to kick in.
Oh yeah. Man, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, if I doze off, it's sorry.
All right, at 311, we have Aaron Jones, which I thought was a fantastic pick. And Doug likes to say it may be a reach, but he's one of my guys. Doug, I'm sorry to say, but he seems like he's becoming everybody's guy now. So he jumped on it early. We had this draft probably, what, a week ago, week or two ago. So good for Doug. At Rich's team, Ismael Zamora at 312. which is a good pick. I mean, he's playing for Oakland. He'll take a year or two. So with that, the athleticism, with the size speed combo, the Julio Jones like athleticism, it could be worth the wait. Now, Riley, at 401, I'm just going to let you have this because, I mean, we've got like 13, 14 minutes left for you to talk about this guy.
Hold on. You got to give me a couple seconds. I got to pull up my pants after seeing this again. I really don't know what else to say other than Noah Brown. He's my son.
Oh, my God.
He's my favorite person on this entire planet. When he's a wide receiver one in 2 years, you will all be just saying, oh, my gosh, that khaki suit guy is a genius.
The khaki suit
guy. He's a genius because he took Noah Brown at 401.
I will definitely still just be calling you the khaki suit guy who lives in a box.
That's on the fair. Field.
That's got to become your new
baseball. It may be a little dirtier.
That's fair. I understand. Yeah, I mean, I don't. Do you want me to say anything else about this, or do you just want to read my pinned tweet?
This opinion.
You and I both love this. Noah Brown. We did. I mean, all he does is score touchdowns, even dating back to high school. We've talked about this. It'll be interesting to see if somebody can take advantage of his talents. I mean, all he has to do is be Terrence Williams.
Okay. Exactly. That was one of my huge selling points after the draft. And somebody, I can't remember who it was. Not trying to dog on anybody, but somebody was like, well, you know, Terrence Williams is there. And I was like, thank you. That's my point. He's like, no, Terrence is going to start. It's just like, I'll give you some hashtag analysis. Like, Terrence Williams sucks. And I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that's
I just don't, whatever. I just don't see, I don't see a lot of obstacles for Noah Brown playing time early on. So, plus he's awesome.
All right. We need to pick this podcast and dust it off because this is so bad.
That was worth it, though. That was worth it.
Oh, my God. We're going to lose so many listeners. Tim's going to come back.
When this podcast dies, you guys can all come listen to the Dynasty Life pod. I will gladly.
There it is.
Travis is like the Russians. I swear to God.
Right there. You're welcome.
That's the plug I've been waiting for him to put in.
That's the new. Yeah. Yeah. We're on. Yeah. Just come find us. We'll hang out. Man. Less awkward silences. I promise.
It's late, like Travis said. So at 402 and 403, Travis, you have back-to-back, so why don't you just ruin it and talk about your two picks?
Yeah, I'll try to keep it brief here. I really like Robert Davis. I think it's really funny that he's on the Redskins because basically he and Josh Doctson in their respective classes had one of the best, if not the best, athletic performance at the combine. They're actually similar athletic profiles if you look at them for like 2 seconds. Obviously, Robert Davis is a little bit more raw. He came from a very, very spread offense. They didn't ask him to run a crazy route tree. So it'll be interesting to see if he figures out how to run routes and decent at all. I feel like long term, he might be a solid hold. So like his upside, I did an interview with one of his former quarterbacks and wrote a piece on that. It was a lot of fun. I think he's just got the work ethic and the physical gifts to succeed. And he's kind of like Josh Doctson insurance, just in case he ever can't ever stay healthy. And then Elijah McGuire, I do like his pass catching chops, and I like the idea of him working into snaps because Powell is functional. He is just incredibly adequate at the running back position, but he's not like a stud or anything. So it's like Powell and Forte, and then it's like okay. Long term, McGuire could be the passing down guy or like a 1A, 1B to some kind of committee. And at this point in the draft, I love what he does and for PPR purposes. So kind of easy, again, decision for me with both these guys.
Yeah, McGuire is one of those guys I have been seeing kind of fall later into drafts lately. But yeah, he's a guy that I've been keeping my eyes on. And you know, if worse comes worse, he's a guy that I would take in the fourth round. So he's a great flyer to have because the running back situation there is not that deep. So good chance he might see the field. At 404, I took a guy that I strangely like, and it's Nathan Peterman in a super flex league. I think this is a great pick. They don't love Tyrod Taylor. P- Peterman was a guy that a lot of analysis, a lot of big guys that know a lot more than I do, liked Peterman and his pro ready, you know, style. And I think he could actually fill in for Tyrod sooner than later. Tyrod is a running quarterback. He could get hurt. And then I got a quarterback I can just plug and play. So Nathan Peterman of Buffalo, I think, could be a Alex Smith-ish type quarterback. But yeah, he's a guy that I've been keeping my eyes on in super flex leagues. And I told Tim and Kelly, this is a guy I'm looking at late in the fourth. Tim knew it, couldn't get to it. So Nathan Peterman's my guy at 404. Anybody hate that pick?
No, I mean, at this point, it's a quarterback, and it's a situation where the organization doesn't feel like they know what to do with Tyrod. So it could be worse. Let's just go with that. Hashtag analysis.
All right.
At the spot you drafted him, man, I think that's a perfect situation for a guy. This guy could turn out to be a starting quarterback on the high end, or he could turn out to be just a backup quarterback. And you don't really know. I lean that he's going to be more of a starter. I just like his tape more than a lot of these other guys. But until you see a guy play the actual game, you don't know.
Yeah, and he's there mentally, but his arm strength isn't his strength. So that's definitely up in Buffalo. We'll have to see how he can play with those high winds.
Yeah.
At 405, Riley, you can go ahead and talk about this pick.
Yeah, so I took Jordan Leggett, tight end for the Jets out of Clemson. I loved him going into the draft. Didn't think he'd slide to the fifth round. I think he's a sneaky, great athletic guy who kind of does a little bit of everything. He's very versatile at Clemson, played a little H-back, a little inline tight end, and he also played on the outside. I thought he had a great combo of both pass catching abilities and blocking. But apparently reports are coming out from New York that he's dropped easy passes. We'll see. Austin Seferian Jenkins is the only one over him, and he's suspended for the first two games of the season. So unless Gary Barnage signs there or something weird happens, looks like Jordan Leggett is going to be the starting tight end for the Jets in week one. So immediate production at 405, you know, with legitimate upside, I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, not a pick I would take. I think in the draft, Travis at 407 got a far better talented tight end. Sorry, Riley.
It's cool. But, I mean, that's fair. I prefer Leggett to that guy, and actually a lot of other tight ends in this class, but I mean, it's me.
That one-handed catch got you, didn't it?
Sure. If we're going with hashtag analysis, I mean, that's the reasoning for it.
I need
Jordan Leggett also wears khaki suits to all the games.
All the time.
That's he a seems like a, he actually, seems like a khaki. He seems like a khaki that suit
was
type guy.
My selling point. And if you could see Kelly's face right now,
he's
dying.
He wears khaki suits too.
All right, at 406, we have Elijah Hood to Rich's team. 407, Travis is up with a pick that I absolutely love. I think this pick is the steal of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at this situation, I find this funny. So in the NFL draft, Gerald Everett was the 44th overall pick. And in this draft, he was the 43rd pick. Like, it's just like, I don't know how this happened. It's a tight end premium league, and he's the eighth. Yeah, clearly overpaid for him at the 407, yeah. But, no, He was the fourth tight end off the board at pick 44, the first ever South Alabama player to be drafted. He's a great receiver. Yeah, he's a tad undersized, so I'm not sure what that means long term for his snap share. But I mean, if you can build whatever narrative you want. But I'll just give you one example because this is out there already. You know, the guy who just had Jordan Reed on his team is now the coach of Gerald Everett's team. And so, you know, who knows how he'll be used, and who knows if he'll even beat out Higbee, but I'm in the camp of belief that he will. I love his athletic profile. It's not as mind-blowing as the guys up there at the top, but he's definitely, from an athletic standpoint, around the fourth tight end in this class. So I thought it was a steal at the tight end eight in the fourth round, getting a guy taken early second round in the real NFL draft. So I'm fine with it. It's a flyer. And this is the only spot I've actually been able to get him because he normally goes way before this. So I'm happy with it.
Yeah, he's usually a second round pick, and in tight end premium, this is a huge steal in my eyes, and I am upset I did not take him over Nathan Peterman. But what can you do? My quarterbacks suck. So,
it stumps me. Did everyone seem to forget about Tyler Higbee? Like, I'm a huge Higbee fan. I own him in this league. I took him late in our startup draft, and when they drafted Everett, I really wasn't nervous. I wasn't worried about anything. Maybe they run more two tight end sets. I mean, that's my thought process. I think Higbee still starts and sees most of the tight end targets in that offense.
Yeah,
I don't think we have a whole lot. No, go ahead. Sorry.
You go first.
I don't think we have a whole lot to base any favor for either one at this point. I mean, Higbee had 11 catches last year and a touchdown. Okay. That's fine. When he came out, he had some character issues. And so who knows? Maybe this staff maybe they're not a huge fan. I don't know why, if they're so happy with their tight end, that they would take a guy this early. If they think that they are fine at that position, it doesn't really make sense to me. Because normally, I mean, just last year, this was almost exactly where Hunter Henry was selected in the NFL draft. Last year, the tight end won. So when you think about it in those terms, it's just – I don't know if Higbee's going to be the guy. I know Kendricks is gone now, so it's nice that they have some depth there. That's great. But I don't know. It'll be just a situation to keep an eye on for sure.
I just think Everett is really raw coming out. I think he's just kind of an athletic mold of clay, like a ball of clay that they can mold into however they want to put in their offense. I think Higbee came out as a little more sharpened with more definite college production from Western Kentucky. I don't know. I'm not super worried right now about Everett stealing targets from Higbee.
Not this year, probably.
See, that's the thing. I feel like if you spend that much draft capital on a player, you're going to use them. Yeah, I mean, you're almost obligated to use a player when you draft them early second.
Curtis Samuel to Carolina. I mean, that's kind of the same situation. Like, they took McCaffrey at 8, and then they come back in their second, and they take Curtis Samuel. They're like, well, you just took basically two of the same role, but you have to use him, right? Since he was that high of a draft pick.
Yeah, and he's going to be in the slot. That's just what it comes down to. And it's kind of an insurance situation too. It's like, if McCaffrey goes down, okay,
you have another McCaffrey.
Yeah, so that's great. Luther. Yeah, but I don't know if it's – I just don't – I'm not as high, I guess, apparently, as you are on Higbee. I don't dislike either player, but I just think the draft capital there – the idea of having an actual pass catcher at the position would be good. I'm not really confident in his blocking at all at this point, but we'll see.
All right. At 408, Rotobon takes out Darius Stewart. That has good value. 409, we have Rich Dotson's team taking Chad Kelly, which I thought was a very good pick. I mean, if it doesn't happen, oh well, it's 409. If it happens, you're hitting huge. He's got tons of upside. Matt Waldman, favorite. Him. A lot of people like him. A lot of smart people. So at 410, Rotobon takes Chad Williams, which is a high upside guy. And apparently the heir apparent to Larry Fitzgerald. Who would have thought? He is a athletic freak. He's a guy who went to the East-West Shrine game and then got promoted to the Senior Bowl. So that's a good sign. But then again, so did last year. So don't get your hopes up too much. And Doug Eddy takes Josh Reynolds, which is another great value pick at 411. And then at 412, Travis, to end this amazing podcast, finish us off at 412.
Yeah, so I took Amara Darbo, and I don't really actually like Amara Darbo, but at this point it was kind of like there wasn't much left on the board. And if you look at actual NFL draft capital investment, and then you actually look at his athletic profile, you actually look at the fact that he was the best wide receiver for Michigan last year. There's a lot to like here. He had like a top five or at least top seven athletic profile out of the 58 wide receivers at this year's NFL Combine. So it looks like he has the physical tools. He's a blue blood, you know, going to a top school. Seahawks landing spot is a little disappointing just because it seems like that's not really the fastest path to production, but at all. But I just thought, you know, I don't have Darbo here yet anywhere. And at this point, it's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm getting a guy who fits, you know, the stereotypical 6'2", 215, and runs a 4.45, and, you know, has a decent vertical. I like the tools. So if he rises to the top and in a situation where they really have, you know, they've got Doug Baldwin that we're really confident in, and people really want Lockett to happen, and they, the five people on Twitter that still want Paul Richardson to happen, it's like, yeah, so it could happen. So we'll just see. If not, it's okay. I spent the 4.12 on him. But
yeah,
definitely like all the tools he brings. See, I think he does not – he struggles with some concentration drops, doesn't even catch with his hands all the time, but seems like a smart wide receiver when I watch him.
Yeah, and – J.U. Chesson was a high recruit, and Darbo came up and took that number one receiver away from him in Michigan. I like seeing that. Like you said, I think his combine was very surprising to everybody. He ran like a 4.45 40. His jumps were really good. His hands were suspect, like you said, on tape, but his hand size wasn't that bad. I think it was in the 9, 9.5.
So, yeah, I mean he's definitely way up there in that regard. And I'm a hand size guy, so yeah.
that's hashtag analysis right there.
Yeah, hand size. He's got 9 7/8 hands, so he's good automatically.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was Kelly, Tim, or somebody. We're talking like what's next, like cheekbone factors. How far are quarterbacks' eyes apart? Does that come into factor with what they can see on the field? Like Sam Bradford, does his lazy eye actually help him?
he's got eyes like turkeys. He can actually kind of zoom in, you know? So really.
He can see him a full 270 degrees.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah.
As opposed to like 180.
Chameleon eyes. I mean, you see Diggs in the slot over there, but you got Thielen deep. Who are you going to go? Pick your poison. You can see them both. But yeah, I mean, the measurements part of the whole combine is why people like Galladay or Chad Williams come in the factor and rise up draft boards. So, I mean, are they good at football? And that's Darbo's case.
Yeah. And that's the thing. What's funny with Chad is he wasn't even invited to the combine. Like 58 wide receivers this year got invited. Normally it's around 40, and 58 got invited, and Chad Williams wasn't even one of them. So I just found it interesting that he was all of a sudden a third round talent, but I didn't see that. Yeah, Riley, like, I don't know.
Yeah, like you hear on other pods. I mean, Arizona has done some great things with small school guys. You got J.J. Nelson, John Brown. Those guys came out of nowhere, so you never know. Bruce Arians is really good with these high upside metric marvels, so he could hit. Now that will actually end our show. Our amazing analysis show. I mean,
really went deep in this one.
I want to explain the situation so people don't get so down on us. It is late right now, and we were supposed to do this at 2 p.m, but our host Tim Keller could not make it because he had van issues. Buddy, first of all, you shouldn't have van issues because you shouldn't have a van. Coming from the closet, just says laughing.
I'm done.
But yeah, I mean, this is just kind of a hey, let's just talk about the league draft, and we'll be better. We'll be back to our normal selves next week. So, Travis, I'd love to say thank you for coming on. It's been something. Thanks for trying to take us down.
It ain't working. Man. That's what I'm here for. Love you guys.
No, it's been great. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you and your work?
You can actually find me on the Twitter at FF_TravisM. And you can find me at thefantasyauthority.com and my work there. And Dynasty League Football, just started writing for them in January. Been a lot of fun. A lot of great people over there.
Yeah, great, great Debbie content from you.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun there. And then, of course, the Dynasty Life podcast, which just started doing that last July with Justin McCasland and Andrew Frechette, and just really having a blast, having a lot of good people on just talking about their Dynasty Life and why they love it and breaking down some players while we're at it. So it's been a blast. But, yeah, thanks again for having me.
even though I had to, you know, put up with Riley. But it's all right. Yeah,
it's tough. I mean, the fact that we know he owns a khaki suit just makes it that much better.
To be fair, I have never actually worn it. I just stick with the navy blue sport coat when I have to.
But the thing is we talk about how he's in somebody else's house. So that can't be a suit, right? Or does he just carry around a khaki suit wherever he goes?
That sounds good. I'll go with that. Not my suit.
I feel like he's one of those guys that carries a suit around with him, though, just in case there's a chance he gets a job interview.
Yep, I keep it in the back of my van.
Windowless? Windowless van?
Windowless van.
All right, and Riley, thanks for coming on. You will be on more often than people think, so this could just be done. I mean, Dynasty Happy Hour could just be done for good if this keeps going this far when you come on.
You know, analysis. I don't know what else to say. No, but thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, he will be on every third weekend when I have to work. I work days on the weekend, so it'll be Tim, Kelly, and Riley. Trust me, we'll be better. But Kelly,
all the Noah Brown takes that you can handle, I imagine.
Count on it, because by that time we'll start getting into mini camps and OTAs. And hey, maybe even next time I'll wear the khaki suit on the pod.
Nice. That's got to be a must.
Which is kind of weird because it's not even his. We've been over this. This is not his house.
Okay, so just to get this, I am in my house. I'm home from school. This is my closet. Actually, this is...
I am just openly admitted you're recording from a closet.
I don't know what to say. Okay. Just look at my profile picture on Twitter. That's all I have to say.
All right. Well, Kelly, thanks for coming on. And as always, you want to tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at DynastyKellyApp.
Yep. And Kelly, even though he's quiet, he knows his stuff.
You can also find me at DTC_RileyB.
Oh,
got to get my little.
I thought we'd get by. Yeah, we have to get his plug in. And you can find me at DHHGunth. You can find all the stuff at DynastyHappyHour.com. Check out the Orange Report and Orange Juice. You guys, it's fantastic. Orange Juice, I love the drink even more. Tim Keller at TimDynastyFF. And if you guys want to check out the league we just talked about, I will send out a link on Twitter. Check it out. It's a great league. It's going to be a fun year. Yeah. Other than that, guys, any last words?
Nope, I was waiting for the amazing joke and it just never came. So maybe next time. I'll just keep listening to this podcast, hoping that you'll just drop something amazing. And then I can just finally just be satisfied with that.
I thought the Sam Bradford thing did it, but
that
could
that
just
was,
be.
Yeah, that was pretty that was good. Okay. That was good. Yeah.
All right. Well, until next time, you guys, draft, trade, win, and repeat.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHHGunth, at DynastyKellyApp, at TimDynastyFF, and most importantly, at DynastyHHPod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.